name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot happening in our liturgy tonight. For those who missed my preamble, masquerading as greetings before the service, I spoke about the foot washing we will do, as well as the reserved sacrament that is processed from the high altar to the altar of repose. Then comes the stripping of the altar, meaning that we take everything we can out of that area up by the high altar. All cloths, candles, kneelers, books, everything that is movable. And we leave the altar as bare as possible. This symbolizes the abandonment of Jesus by his disciples, as well as the stripping away of Jesus' garments by soldiers before his crucifixion. And after that, you will see Nate, as our celebrant, scrubbing the altar. It won't be entirely obvious from where you're seated, but he will be using holy water and a palm branch to scrub in five places representing the five wounds of Christ. And then there's another ritual that you won't see at all. That is consumption of the fermentum. Can we say that word together? Fermentum. It means leaven. So what is it exactly? Well, the fermentum is a little piece of the Eucharistic bread consecrated by our bishop earlier this week. And Nate will place the fermentum in the consecrated wine at the Eucharist before drinking it all up. And this signifies the unity of our parish with our bishop and the larger diocese. So yes, a lot is happening tonight. It is a full service, rich with symbolism and remembrance. And maybe that's fitting, because we know there was a lot happening for Jesus during Holy Week too. A few days before the Last Supper was the excitement and all the people and the noise of Palm Sunday. Immediately after that, Jesus made a ruckus in the temple with his provocative preaching and turning over tables of money changers. We know that Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane is just on the horizon, followed, of course, by his trial and crucifixion. But on Maundy Thursday, the night of the Last Supper, we have this one moment, this one special meal nestled down in the midst of all the drama. Jesus takes the opportunity to get away from the crowds and the chaos and to eat with his closest friends. To celebrate Passover, in fact, and to share with them what would be part of any meal in a Jewish household at that time, foot washing and blessing the food. In the Gospel of John, which Denise read for us just now, we learn that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And this is a flip of the script, because normally servants would do the foot washing, and certainly a person of higher status would not wash the feet of someone of lower status. But here we know Jesus takes on a lesser role, so that foot washing now becomes a symbol of love, expressed in kindness and service. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, we learn that Jesus blessed the bread and the wine. For generations, people had seen bread and wine raised in a Sabbath blessing to a great and faithful God. But on this particular Passover night, Jesus offered it as his own body and blood, a sign of the life that he would soon lay down. So the Last Supper becomes one great demonstration of how Jesus wants his disciples to love one another just as he loved them. It's beautiful. It's intimate. The way we remember the Last Supper tonight, reenacting the foot washing and celebrating the institution of the Eucharist, it's often called a burst of sunshine in the gathering gloom. A burst of sunshine in the gathering gloom. I love that phrase. And I want to tell you about a scene in a movie that I think captures it to a T. The scene is from a 2010 French film called Of Gods and Men. This film is based on a true story about Trappist monks. Trappist is a type of Catholic, so Catholic monks from France who are living in Algeria in the 1990s. And they are very much in harmony with and are very much trusted by the surrounding Arab community, which is Muslim and impoverished. The monks provide free health care to the people. They sell honey at the local market, and they are frequently honored guests at Muslim family celebrations. But then they come under threat by fundamentalist Islamic terrorists during the Algerian Civil War. And as the surrounding political violence escalates, the French government warns the monks they need to leave the country, for they will surely die. But they feel called to remain among the people they serve. So they stay put despite the risk. Near the end of the movie, we get what's called the Last Supper sequence. Now, if Incarnation was one of those churches that included multimedia during our sermons, like PowerPoints and video clips on a giant screen that comes down from the ceiling, I would have you watch it right now. In fact, I might also ask you to stand while you do so, just like some concert goers stand during the Hallelujah chorus of Handel's Messiah. It is that good and powerful and holy. What happens is that the monks gather for a simple yet festive dinner, and they have red wine, which is a rare treat. They play Swan Lake on an old cassette player in the corner. It's Tchaikovsky's grand theme. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Just beautiful. Everyone is sipping their wine, looking relaxed and a little joyful. As the camera pans slowly around the table, minutely watching the men's faces one by one. But then as the camera starts to swing back, each of the monks begins to absorb their impending martyrdom. We see sorrow, fear, and pain mirrored in each face. The music starts to crescendo. Da 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 da. I know that didn't sound great because I am a soprano, but you get the idea. It's heavy. It's anything but subtle. And then there's this other transition. After this consternation that we've witnessed in these monks' careworn faces, we see the peacefulness return. Through teary eyes, they smile ever so slightly. They pat each other's arms and share knowing glances that reveal a spiritual bond in the choice they have made. Their fear isn't extinguished, but it is matched with a resolute commitment to God and a commitment to honor the choice of self-sacrifice for love's sake, a choice that does indeed end in death at the hand of terrorists. As we remember the Last Supper tonight and celebrate the Eucharist, it is truly a burst of sunshine in the gathering gloom, a joyful celebration, and it's more than that. The Eucharist is always more than that. Receiving the bread and the wine is an opportunity to receive a piece of the cross that we all bear as followers of Christ. In the Eucharist, we receive and we carry and we raise up the cross together. And it is a gift. Now, do I think I could possibly radiate light and peace and a quiet joy as I look toward my own martyrdom? Doubtful. But like those monks, I know the draw to follow Jesus's will for my life, no matter the cost. I know the desire to devote myself utterly to him because of his devotion to me. And I know that truly there is no other place to go or to be except in his presence. He is the meaning of my life. Now, if you don't feel all of what I'm describing right now, that's okay. But if you keep coming to church, if you let this be a sacred space nestled down in all the drama of your life, you'll get there. For church is where we learn to be Christians. It's where we take on the mantle of Jesus' ministry that he passed down to his disciples at the Last Supper. Love one another, serve one another, and never give up on Jesus or the work he asks us to do. It is the only way that leads to new life.